So good to be with you, church family, on this Lord's Day. And for those of you joining us online through the live stream, we want to welcome you as well. Just a couple of updates before we begin today's message. Please be in prayer for Pastor Ted and Sandy. They are on the East Coast today. They're speaking at a church. And then also this week, they have the privilege of speaking at the Metro District Conference tomorrow and Tuesday. So please be keeping them in your prayer. They're going to be talking about resilience in ministry and how to minister together as a couple. So what a wonderful opportunity for them to really share with other pastors and leaders from the New Jersey and New York area. And then also another thing that we have not yet mentioned yet is in December, we are going to be having a baptism. Okay, so we haven't had a baptism in a while due to COVID. But if you would like to get baptized, if you are a believer, but you have never made a public profession of your faith, we want to invite you to join us in December. Did I say November? I meant December. Okay, December for our baptism. It's actually going to be on December 26th. So we're going to combine it with just really a time of celebrating not only Christ's birth, but also the new life in Christ. I know youth, you have been told about this by Pastor Dave, but for those of us that are adults, if you have yet to experience water baptism, please let me know or let one of the pastors know. We would love to celebrate with you and really walk with you. Today, we're going to continue with our series, The Church in Action, from the book of Acts. As you remember, last week, Pastor Ted reviewed Paul's first and second missionary journeys from Acts chapters 13 to 18. He kind of took us through a whirlwind trip, all the different places. And then we also spent most of our time last week focused on Acts chapter 19, where one of the greatest revivals broke out in the city of Ephesus, and how the church of Ephesus was born. Now, you'll remember that it started with a few disciples filled with the Holy Spirit. And the question that was posed to us was, who amongst us is willing to get down on our knees and ask God for another great awakening, another great revival in our day and age? Who will pray for such a revival? And we had a brief chance at the end of the service to huddle in groups and to really ask the Lord to start that in us. And then Pastor Ted also asked, well, whatever happened to the city of Ephesus? Does it still exist? And he showed some pictures that, no, indeed, the city of Ephesus does not exist. It's actually a city in ruins. And he reminded us of what it said in the book of Revelation, where Jesus was basically judging the church of Ephesus and saying, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Last week, we were challenged to not only seek God's face, but to also go back to our place of first love. Perhaps through the pandemic, we may have forsaken our first love. Easy to do. We weren't able to gather in person. Zoom is a different animal. But really, being challenged to go back to our first love last week. Now today, I was initially thinking about covering part of the next chapter, Acts chapter 20. And I was reviewing the next chapter, it talks about Paul preaching until midnight, okay? And then there was this young man by the name of Eutychus who fell into a deep sleep and actually fell from a third floor window and basically died. Okay, so, you know, three stories down and then he dies. And then Paul rushes down to the ground level, threw himself on the young man, and raises him back to life. Paul then goes back upstairs. They break bread together, have communion, and then he continues preaching until daylight, until the next day. Now, don't worry. I decided not to go over that passage, and don't worry. I'm not going to preach until midnight or until the next day. But I hope you're also warned from this story about what might happen to you if you fall asleep during a message, okay? Now, I'm not Paul, and I don't think I can raise any of you back to life. And thankfully, we're all on the ground level, and no one is sitting close to a window, but just some food for thought about falling asleep during service. And I'm guilty of that too, okay? So it's okay. But all joking aside, I want to take a closer look with you this morning at a few passages of scripture from Acts chapter 18. So going back a little bit, last week we were in chapter 19. This week we're going to go back a little bit to Acts chapter 18 that really referenced a couple by the name of Priscilla and Aquila. who were tent makers along with the Apostle Paul. Now this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, is only mentioned in the scriptures about four times. Quite a bit in Acts chapter 18, which we will soon read. But then also it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, and 2 Timothy chapter 4. And now in these passages, they were more or less mentioned as part of Paul's greeting to these churches, like Aquila and Priscilla send you greetings, or greet Priscilla and Aquila. Now, we'll see in a little bit that these were people who made tents, not the type of camping tents that Pastor Ted mentioned last week. You know, they would actually cut and sew cloth, usually made from goat or camel's hair, and attach them to ropes and tarps and loops. And a tent would be used by a traveler or a person caring for livestock, or even perhaps as a sun awning for a private home, usually to be used as a place of shade in the hot desert environment that Israel is part of. Now, a tent maker would have likely learned the trade as a youth, having been taught by his father of the household and passing the trade down to the next generation so that the family business could continue. Now, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker by trade, and he really relied on this trade to support himself in Corinth and in different places that he visited. And this time in Corinth, as we pick up, it's during his second missionary journey. Now, oftentimes when we think of the modern day term of tent maker in today's Christian context, oftentimes we think of it in an even more specific missions term or missions context, like someone who's a tent maker who can't really go as an official missionary, but who goes to a closed country or a creative access country, and the only way that he or she can get into that closed country is through a profession, like teaching English, or as an engineer, or as a doctor, or another type of professional that's used as a platform to build relationships and to really reach those people in that closed country for Christ. Now, that's a wonderful opportunity to get into the country and you know, to build relationships. But sometimes that definition in our mind today, it kind of limits or perhaps even narrows that term. And it implies that tent making is not applicable to me because I'm not called to that particular creative access country, or I'm not called to go overseas. Now, today, I really want to challenge all of us by expanding this definition of what being a tent maker means, what it could mean, what we see from the life of Priscilla and Aquila, and that in fact, God's kingdom actually needs more tent makers. God's kingdom needs you and I to be tent makers no matter where we are, whether or not we're here or even if we are to go to a closed off country. Now, I want to begin by taking a closer look at Acts chapter 18. And the first passage that I'm going to read from is Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Hopefully you can follow along and it's not too small. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Now, this passage begins by the two words after this. Now, you remember that earlier, you might remember that earlier in chapter 17, Pastor Ted alluded to this last week, that Paul was actually in the city of Athens preaching on Mars Hill to a group of philosophers, and he noticed that in Athens there were many idols, and that there was even an inscription to an idol, to an unknown God. And Paul really took that opportunity to tell them about this unknown God, who this God of the universe was, and of Jesus' resurrection, what Jesus did on the cross. And we read from Acts chapter 17 that some actually laughed, some wanted more information, but actually a few actually believed on the name of the Lord. And then this is where we pick up in Acts chapter 18 that from Athens, Paul goes to the city of Corinth. And it was there that he meets Aquila and Priscilla. Now, how this couple got to Corinth was an entirely different story. They did not come from the city of Athens. In fact, they had come to Corinth from Italy, from Rome, as victims of the Roman persecution, not necessarily for their Christian faith, but because this man named Aquila, he was a Jew. Now, around the year AD 49, the Emperor Claudius actually expelled all the Jews from the city of Rome. And Aquila and Priscilla had to find a new home, an entirely different city, actually an entirely different land. They were kicked out due to ethnic tensions in their hometown. No stability, they were uprooted, things massively shifted for them. And they were forced to find an entirely new place to start all over again. Now, even though things were unsure and uncertain for this couple, somehow this couple still kept their focus on God. And somehow they were still able to trust in His goodness and plan for their future, even though it was in an unknown land, an unknown city, an entirely new, perhaps, people group, language group. And yet later, as we'll see, Priscilla and Aquila didn't waste their time in this new land of Corinth, in this exile moment, but instead took the most of every opportunity and really allowed God to still work in the time that they were in Corinth, allowing God to really work in their lives, to really build His church, and to see His kingdom expand no matter where they might be. As we'll see, they left Rome, they went to Corinth, but after Corinth, they also went with Paul to the city of Ephesus, and then eventually, after the edict that all Jews had to leave Rome, eventually end up back in the city of Rome. So no matter where they went, they still allowed the Lord to use them for His kingdom purposes. Now, I'm dwelling on this point because a lot of times when we read this passage like this, it's easy to skip over and it's like, well, okay, they're in Corinth, so let's just move on with the story. But the fact that they were kicked out from their home in Rome, actually, I'm sure was very traumatic. Imagine if you or I were to be expelled or kicked out from San Jose, from wherever you may have grown up in, right? Uprooted, transplanted, to a foreign place, to a place that you don't really want to be in, to a place that's unfamiliar, unknown, just uncomfortable. Imagine how you would feel. Now, actually, some of us, or maybe some of our parents, may have felt this way before, perhaps being forced to flee from our native country because of war or whatever persecution, or to come to the West for a greater opportunity, to start afresh, in America. Some of us perhaps maybe didn't go through an experience like that or may not have known of that experience, but perhaps some of us have maybe felt like in the past 18 months, we've kind of been in exile during this pandemic season, experienced a lot of loss, a lot of shifting, being uprooted, lacking stability, all the things that we have known about for the last many years as we've grown up, or as we've known all our adult lives. Uncomfortable. Not what we would expect. But yet, as we see with Paul and Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila, as we'll see, somehow they were able to keep their focus on the Lord. They did not let their temporal, physical situation rob them of what God was going to do in their lives, of how God was going to use them for their glory, of how God was going to open up their home for hospitality, how God was going to open up their home for the church to meet inside, of how God was going to use them to mentor and disciple others, and how the Lord was going to use them ultimately to take risks for his kingdom. How are we still able to keep focus on God and trust in his goodness and plan? And really, to see these potential difficult seasons or circumstances in our lives as opportunities for God to actually still advance his plan for his church, for his kingdom, for his purposes in your life and mine. Are we willing to still come to the Lord and say, God, I don't know what is going on with all the shifting, with all the sifting, with all the chaos, with all the uncertainty, but I do know that somehow you are allowing me, us, to go through it, and that somehow you must have a greater purpose. You must have a greater plan. You must have a greater lesson for me to learn as I go through this season of being uprooted, of being in exile, of being in unfamiliar territory. How does all this fit in God's kingdom? How does all does this fit in God's plan for your life and mine? Now, I want to continue by going into verse 3, where it says, and he, Paul, went to see them, Priscilla and Aquila, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, so they were tent makers by trade. So now Paul and this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, somehow find themselves in this great city of Corinth. Somehow through the providence of God, they met, okay? It doesn't tell us how they met, it just says that he went to see them, okay? Now you remember that it says that they were all tent makers. You know, they had this commonality, this common trade in mind, right? So maybe they met at the market, right? Maybe they met in the section where they sold tents, right? Maybe they were trying to check out each other's tent business. Maybe they're trying to check out the competition. Ooh, what kind of tent do you have there? Do you have a goatskin tent or do you have a sheepskin tent? Is your tent cheaper than mine? Maybe somehow they just met and they started talking and comparing, starting with their trade. Regardless, God, in his divine providence, in his divine wisdom, in his divine timing, orchestrated their time together, their meeting. And not only did they meet and find out that they had this tent-making trade in common, but even more importantly, they had a faith in common, right? What started out as a mutual physical trade commonality became a deeper-rooted commonality with their faith in the Lord, with their faith in Jesus. And that's really what solidified their relationship for the next 18 months and beyond. Now, verse 3, as we read, actually says that not only because of their tent-making ability and trade, not only because they had a common faith, but it says that Paul even stayed with Priscilla and Aquila. He says he stayed with them and worked for they worked together, for they were tent makers by trade. Now, this next point I want to mention is Priscilla and Aquila, they had somehow this gift, this act of hospitality. They welcomed Paul into their home, okay? Not just for a meal, okay? I know a lot of us have welcomed people into our homes for a meal, but they actually welcomed him to stay with them for not just one night, but we later find out that actually Paul stays in the city of Corinth for a year and a half, for 18 months. So Paul wasn't just a house guest. He actually became an integral part of Priscilla and Aquila's lives. Now, I'm sure back then that the homes were not as big as maybe your home or my home. They were probably just one room or two at the most, right? So I'm sure Paul might have just slept on the sofa or might have had a cot in the living room, right? But somehow, Priscilla and Aquila, they knew that there was this man, this Apostle Paul. They welcomed him with open arms into not only their homes, but into their lives. for a year and 6 months. And it says that Paul teaching the word of God among them, not just to Priscilla and Aquila, but to the whole people of Corinth. Essentially, a part of Priscilla and Aquila's lives, a part of their families. And over the course of time, I'm sure that there were some very rich spiritual discussions as Paul shared with them his wealth of spiritual insights, as the Lord allowed them not only to make tents together, but to talk about God's work in the church, to talk about evangelism, to talk about Jesus and what his death on the cross meant, to talk about what is God doing in our midst? How do we reach those Jews, those other Gentiles that have not yet heard of the truth of Jesus? They made tents together, but they also ministered together, building up the body of Christ. Now, this act of hospitality that Aquila and Priscilla showed, it really opened up doors for relationships. You know, somehow in today's world, we've somehow lost this gift or this act of hospitality. And especially during the last 18 months, because of COVID, we have forgotten what it means to be hospitable. Inviting people into previously your home, maybe now your backyard, maybe now a park, right? For a meal, for a coffee, for a fireside chat, for a fire pit chat. Cultivating closer relationships, sharing life together. I know that a lot of us, because of COVID, we've stayed apart. And it's so good to see so many of us here gathered together in the sanctuary again. But even as things start to open up more, I'm sure you heard about talk about mask mandates lifting up later. I want to encourage you, obviously, to be safe, but to also relearn this gift of hospitality. How can I be hospitable again, despite COVID? How can I invite someone into my home, my backyard, a park, to dine out together, to have a coffee, a meal, to even just interact together? Sharing about how God has been speaking to you, how God has been working in your life, being mutually encouraged, really saying, God, you know, hey, let's pray through this together. You know, whatever difficult time you are going through, let's not forget that I'm here with you. I am your brother. I am your sister in Christ. And we're meant to do this together. We're meant to be family. You know, as the last 4 years, as I've been working at the church, a lot of people I come into contact with, obviously, at the church are believers. So I've really missed my time rubbing shoulders with people I used to work with, people who are not Christian. But I've been really thankful that as our school has opened up this past year, that we've been able to build some relationships with our kids' schoolmates' parents, with some of their friends, with some of the teachers at the school, with some of the after-school Chinese program teachers. And it's actually been a very special time as I walk my kids to school, as I walk through the neighborhood, as I see our neighbors. And I felt like this season, you know, as things are opening up more, that people are actually longing for relationships. People are longing to talk. Even last week, I was talking to someone as I was setting up at New Vine, and he was saying, thank you for talking to me. He was actually saying, he said that twice. I was just setting out our A-frame on the street, and he was like, thank you for talking to me. And I was really surprised because I didn't really think that I really went out of my way to talk to him. I mean, we had a nice conversation, but I think because of COVID, everyone is so fearful about coming close. Everyone is so fearful about talking. But this act of building relationships, this act of being nice, this act of showing hospitality has really been lacking in the last 18 months. You know, so I'm really excited as God is working amongst us that, you know, even with some of these relationships that I've met over the last few months at school, in the neighborhood, that we've been able to invite people to our home, to our backyards, to share, you know, as they're comfortable, to share a meal, to invest, to talk, to kind of, see who they are, to hear their story, to really share a little bit of our story and what God has been doing in our lives. So one of the points that we see Priscilla and Aquila doing is really inviting people into their home, showing hospitality. And I think they were really blessed because they didn't know that this was the great Apostle Paul that they stumbled upon, right? But I'm sure they were tremendously blessed for the past 18 months that they lived with Paul. Now let's continue reading the rest, part of chapter 18, starting in verses 18 to 19 and then 24 to 26. It says, after this, Paul stayed many days longer. This is the year and 6 months. And then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, them meaning Priscilla and Aquila, and he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now, there's supposed to be some scripture passages, but it's okay if you don't see it. And then chapter 18, verses 24 to 26, I'm going to continue reading on. This is while Priscilla and Aquila were in Ephesus. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. This is verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, after about 18 months in Corinth, Paul, along with Priscilla and Aquila, decide to leave together. They leave Corinth, and they actually head to Ephesus. Paul is going beyond. He's going ultimately to Syria. But he basically makes a pit stop in Ephesus, and he drops off Priscilla and Aquila. Now, this couple, they stay in Ephesus, and they establish a church in their home. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, it basically talks about, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and it says, the churches of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, as they were still in Ephesus, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. So basically, after Paul leaves them in Ephesus, again, they open up their home. They start this house church in the town of Ephesus. And then in Ephesus, in the synagogue, they come across this man, this young man, this eloquent preacher from Egypt, from the city of Alexandria, named Apollos. Now, Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, but he only knew the baptism of John, it says. And the couple realized that this information, while good, that there was still some other stuff that he was lacking. His information wasn't complete. And somehow Priscilla and Aquila, as he heard this young man, Apollos, preaching, they took an interest in this young man. They saw that this young man had great promise, even though maybe his whole story wasn't complete, maybe the whole gospel understanding wasn't complete. But they took an interest in this young man, and they wanted to encourage him. So what do? Well, instead of an open confrontation in the synagogue, instead of posting whatever on Facebook or on social media about whatever he said, the couple actually invite Apollos back to their home, and they actually share with him what he needed to know. They basically mentored and discipled this young man, Apollos, from the town of Alexandria. They really saw something different in him. They saw the potential in him, and they really spent time with him in their home, again, exercising the gift not only of hospitality, but also seeing this young man, seeing the potential in him, willing to invest, willing to mentor, willing to disciple, telling him about Jesus' life, telling him about Jesus' death and resurrection, just as perhaps Priscilla and Aquila were mentored by Paul in Corinth. Now in Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila are mentoring this young man by the name of Apollos. Mentoring and discipling others. This is something else that Priscilla and Aquila did well. Is there someone in your life or in mine that perhaps God has placed on your heart? Perhaps the Lord has said, hey, did you kind of notice so-and-so, this young lady or this young man, or this person, this brother or this sister? Is there someone that perhaps God is calling you or I to speak life into, to come alongside, to encourage, to basically say, hey, I see this gifting in you. I see this thing, this passion in you. And I want to come alongside and encourage you. I want to come alongside and pour into your life. Because I think God is doing something special. And I want to affirm that. I want to acknowledge that. But I also want to be by your side to know that you are not alone. Someone that you see potential in. Someone that you can actually explain the way of God more accurately without embarrassing or shaming him or her publicly. Inviting him to your home. Again, inviting him to spend time, or her, spending time. Now, some of you may have been blessed to have had someone do that to you, right? Perhaps along in your spiritual journey, there was an older brother or sister who kind of took you under his or her wing, who kind of shepherded you, who kind of was your Sunday school teacher, who kind of really intentionally said, hey, let's hang out. Let's grab a meal. Let's go to McDonald's. Let's grab a boba, right? I'm sure some of you youth, hopefully you've gotten some of that from your small group leaders or some of the older uncles and aunties. I sure have. You know, growing up in this church, many of you poured into my life. Many of you were my Sunday school teachers. Many of you aunties and uncles, youth group leaders, counselors, shepherds. And a lot of times we think of the word mentoring, discipleship as a really like big word, like, oh my goodness, I have to follow this 10-week program. I have to do this, do that, do this or that, follow this script. Yes, it can be a regimented, structured program, but it doesn't have to be. It's life on life. Spending time with another person. Sharing from what God has shown you. Just sharing a verse to say, you know how the Lord spoke to me this week? He really used a passage from the scripture this week, from this week's reading on the Psalm, or this week's reading from the Old Testament. And this is how God really spoke to me. And I just want to encourage you in your life this week. This is how it might apply to your life. It can be a big program, but it doesn't have to be. It can be as simple as, hey, let's go grab boba and let's just hang out. Let's just chat. Like, what is God teaching you? This is what God's teaching me. Life on life. Mentoring, discipleship. A lot of times we wait for this grand thing, but we don't have to. We really don't have to. We can start today. Think about how other people have influenced and affected your spiritual walk. How are you able now to influence someone else's walk? Just like Priscilla and Aquila influenced Apollos' walk. We're going to deviate from Acts chapter 18, it is, I think. Yeah, and we're going to go one more thing that is mentioned about Priscilla and Aquila, and that is found in the book of Romans. It's not on the scripture in the passage on the PowerPoint. I'm going to read it to you. This is found from the book of Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5, where Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he's basically saying, greet Priscilla and Aquila, who are now back in Rome, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, again, Paul speaking, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Again, a church meeting in their house now in Rome. Fast forward many years. Now they're back in Rome. But what I want to mention is Paul says in Romans chapter 16, verse 4, well, verse 3, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Again, many years of ministry together, right? Starting in Corinth, Ephesus, now back in Rome. Paul is saying that Priscilla and Aquila risked their necks for his life. And he's giving thanks for God for that because of whatever risk they took. But he's not only giving thanks for himself, but he's also giving thanks for the churches of the Gentiles also give thanks as well. Okay, so this is, again, later in the book of Romans, when Paul recounts a time when this couple somehow took a risk for Paul. Now, we don't know what this great act of bravery was, but it was sufficient enough to have impacted Paul long after the fact. In fact, Paul remembered many years ago how they took this risk for him. Maybe they smuggled him out. Maybe they borrowed some money to help in his tent-making business. They lent him some money. We don't know. Did they publicly defend him? Did it have to do with the riot in Ephesus that we covered last week in Acts chapter 19? Maybe they helped him in that riot. Maybe they defended him. Maybe they protected him. We don't know. The details are unclear, but the importance was not. Whatever it was that they did, Priscilla and Aquila took a risk to help Paul. They stepped out of their comfort zone for the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, when was the last time that you or I stepped out of our comfort zone for the kingdom of God? We all are creatures of comfort, I'm sure. We all like to sit in the same places. It's nice to know where people are because it's usually the same spot, right? We're very comfortable people, and there's nothing wrong with that, except when we let our comfort dictate how we are to live our lives, then we miss out on the opportunity to see what God may be able to do if we give up our comfort and we say, God, I actually am willing to take a risk for your kingdom. When was the last time you took a risk for the kingdom of God? Especially during this pandemic season. The amazing thing is that God actually, in his great power and might, he actually invites us. This is an invitation for him, for us, to take a risk for his kingdom. He's inviting us to say, okay, if you avail yourself, if you open yourself, if you say, God, here is whatever, perhaps here is my pride, maybe you're risking your pride, maybe you're risking your time, maybe you're risking your comfort of not wanting someone to come to your home and messing it up, or maybe it's like, oh, my home's a mess. You know, I don't want so-and-so to think of me as blah, 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 or as a messy person. What are you risking that you could actually say, God, I'm able to really put that on the line for you? Whatever it is that you want me to risk, I want to take you up on your invitation. You know, it may not even be as severe as a life or death situation as it was for Paul. But again, it starts with us being open and available. It starts with us by saying, God, I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone for you, whatever it is. Whatever comfort zone you are in, you know, but God also knows. And if you are willing to say, God, I'm willing to step out of it. If you give God that permission, God's not going to force it on you. Again, he's a gentleman. He's just asking for our availability. But if we're able to say, God, would you help me to step out of my comfort zone, whatever it might be? Maybe it's sharing with a loved one how God has been speaking to you lately, right? Maybe it's telling a friend who's going through a difficult situation to say, hey, you know, I'm willing to commit to praying for you. You know, does your friend even know that you're a believer? Does your friend even know that you pray to a God who answers prayer? Can you even say, you know, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm willing to pray for you. Can I pray for you now? Taking a risk to pray. Taking a risk to boldly open your mouth and to pray. Maybe it's getting to know your neighbor a bit more and showing hospitality. You know, it's these simple things. It's not even a big life-saving thing. But imagine what a simple thing can lead to if we are willing to let God do a greater work in us. Taking a risk for God's kingdom What does that look like for us today? What does that look like for us as we come out of this pandemic season? You know, the interesting thing about Priscilla and Aquila is they didn't just see themselves as mere tent makers, but they actually saw themselves as children of God, ministers in the kingdom of God that just happened to be tent makers. Okay, do you see that difference? They saw themselves for their real identity, for who they were in Christ, right? As beloved sons and daughters of the Most High King. Their identity was not in what they did as tent-making people. That was their profession. That was not their identity. Their identity is in who they were as beloved sons and daughters of God. And in the same vain, that's how it is for us. Where is your identity rooted in? Is it in your profession? Is it in who your parents think you are as their son or their daughter, or who they have said you are? A student, perhaps an engineer, a teacher, someone in finance, someone who's retired, a homemaker? That's not your identity. That's just what you do. Your identity and my identity as people of God are His precious sons and daughters. We are called to be ministers together in His kingdom. Don't let the world, don't let Satan confuse you on who your identity is. Because with our confused identity, we may be serving the wrong purpose. We may be succumbing to perhaps what the world is saying or defining for our identity, and not really what Christ is calling us to walk in the identity as ministers of the gospel. And I'm saying that not for those of us who do it for a living, okay? But all of us as ministers of the gospel, as His sons and His daughters who are called to take the good news, starting from our neighborhoods to the ends of the earth. How is the Lord using your occupation, whatever identity you claim to be, for God's glory and for His kingdom purposes? You know, as we close today, as we reflect on this story of Priscilla and Aquila, not a whole lot is mentioned about them. But from these few examples, we see again that there's this couple uprooted, shifted, from their hometown of Rome to this foreign place of Corinth. Even though they've been in chaos, they still avail themselves to the Lord's use. They still show the gift of hospitality. They still see the need to mentor, to disciple. They still take a risk for the kingdom of God. They don't let their identity as tent makers define who they are. But they are reminded of who God has called them to be as His people. No matter where they go, from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus, back to Rome, wherever they are, to be His people, to build His church, to be His kingdom seekers and advancers. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we close with this closing song. And brothers and sisters, even as we reflect on this song, I want to ask you today, before I ask you today, I want to say one more thing. God needs more tent makers in His kingdom. He wants all of us, in fact, to be tent makers for Him, impacting our surrounding areas for His glory and for His kingdom purposes. I want to invite you to stand as we sing this closing song, but also I want to invite you to reflect and to say, God, from today's passage, from today's message, what is it about Priscilla and Aquila that, Jesus, you want me to be? Is it perhaps trusting you for the unknown? Is it perhaps trusting you for this time of uncertainty, having been uprooted, having been shifted? Can I still say, God, I want to cling on to you? Can I still say, Lord, I want to unveil myself to you? Is it perhaps the Lord is saying, I want you to this week show a gift of hospitality to someone? Is it to say, Lord, I want to avail myself so that I can speak life into a younger person, so I can speak life into someone in this church, so I can speak life to someone sitting across the aisle from me? Is it perhaps saying, Lord, I am willing to open myself to take a risk for you, to step out of my comfort zone, whatever that might be? Ask the Lord to speak to you right now and to veil ourselves to him even as we close with this song.
Don't
Jesus, we come before you. Father, may that be our prayer. God, that you would come and reign. Lord, that we, every one of us, each and every one of your people today, whether it be here gathered in the sanctuary, whether it be in our homes, Lord, that we would avail ourselves to you. That, Jesus, we would be a living sacrifice. Yes. That we would say, God, come. Yes, Lord. Lord, we give up our comforts. We give up the things that we expect from you. That we would say, come, Lord Jesus. Come and reign in us. Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to just stretch out your hands as an act of surrender, as an act of submission to the Lord, that you would desire for the Lord to reign in you today, that you would desire for God to do what he wants to do in your life. God, as we come before you this afternoon now, Lord, we bring our lives to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, we avail ourselves to you. And Jesus, we say that not only do we invite you to reign in us, but we invite you to help us be your tent makers. To help us be not who the world has defined us to be, not who we ourselves or our parents have defined us to be, but who truly, Jesus, you have defined us to be, and that as your beloved son or daughter in you, dearly loved, a delight in your eyes, called out to the world, called and sent to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our workplaces. Father, would you use us as we avail ourselves to be a people of boldness, to be a people who are willing to take risks for your kingdom, to be a people, Lord, when you say to do this, we will say, yes, Lord, that it will just be yes and amen. Father, we ask, Lord, that as we avail ourselves to you, that would you specifically speak to us today? That would you specifically give us names of people that we need to show hospitality to, that we need to mentor, that we need to disciple, that we need to encourage this week, maybe even this afternoon? God, would you show us? Lord, we want your kingdom to come. We want your kingdom to come, and we want to be part of this revival in these last days. We thank you for inviting your church to be participants in your last day revival. And Father, we ask that you would use each and every one of us as you have placed us in our professions, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, to be your tent makers for your kingdom purposes. God, we know that we cannot do it on our own strength, on our own power, of our own volition. So we ask, Lord, for a greater anointing, a greater filling, a greater pouring out of your Holy Spirit, even right now. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill each and every one of us, not only with your love, but with your power, with your words, with your grace, with the fragrance of Jesus, that no matter where we go, people would smell something different. No matter where we are, people's heads would turn and ask, why is it that you're so different? And we would say, it's because we believe in Jesus. It's because Jesus has done a new thing in my life. And let me share that new thing with you today. God, give us the boldness, give us the courage, give us the eyes to see through your kingdom purposes. Thank you, Jesus, for our time today. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation from your church this morning. We love you, we praise you. Go before us now. Lead us onward until we meet again. Thank you, Jesus, in your most precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. God bless you, and we will see you next week.